There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Another couple hours of live local talk we do here. Call it Midday Mobile. I'm Sean. Phone number, text line. I guess we got to say 251 now. So 251-343-0106 works for the phone or text line. Of course, you could use a talkback feature on the app. We'll talk about in just a second. Coming up on today's show, we'll get the latest. I know Jeff was talking about it. Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich has announced her retirement at the end of this term. We'll talk about that. Also, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran's not running again. He's going to join us in our number two of the show. And no word if State Senator Tim Melson I think he's running again. State Senator Tim Melson out of Florence is going to join us because he's got a bill pre-filed, and maybe you heard Jeff and I talk about it briefly, that would ban, I guess, not limit, but ban foreign interest in buying land in Alabama, agricultural or silviculture land in Alabama. Right now, it says 1.8 million acres in the state owned by foreign investors, and his move would be to block that. So we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, John Sharp from AL.com will join us a little after 12:30. Right now, Congressman Jerry Carl, AL1, and I wanted to hold back my app discussion and let the congressman do it. Congressman, good to see you.
Good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. There we go. I've had to press the right button. So you walked in here and you told me the other night that you downloaded the FM Talk 106.5 app.
I felt so stupid. You know, because I miss your programs because I'm not in the car and I don't listen. So the other night I was sitting there fiddling, you know, as I normally do, and I downloaded your app and hit the live on it, and all of a sudden I'm listening to you live, and I'm going, this is a no-brainer. So now I just put my AirPod in, and I can move around and listen to, you know, what I normally would have to sit still to listen to. I can move around. Hey, you got me sold.
Good.
Sold on the app.
So a congressional endorsement of the FM Talk 106.5 app. Wait till you go check out all the podcasts on there and the traffic maps and the weather information. You can get the social media feeds, all that stuff on there.
My staff had told me about a program that you had done on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And they were bragging about how well you explained it. And I actually went back and listened to that podcast. So
good.
Good job.
I'm glad to have you on board with the app.
You have a political future.
Let's stick with the app for right now.
Okay.
You know, I just went through a list of people that are not running for office again. You are not on that list, Congressman.
I'm not on that list. In fact, today I'm actually announcing that I will be filing. If we haven't already filed, we'll file sometime today, and we're running for re-election in District 1. And I'm so proud and so excited to get back out and let's do it another 2 years.
Okay. And so let me ask you the cliched question. Why?
You know, this year has been a very tough year on all of us, not just me as an elected official, but as a country. And I've seen some changes that we've been able to make, even as tough as it is,
mm-hmm.
Or has been on us. And I see the horizon, and the horizon is beautiful.
Is that horizon a Republican majority in the House?
How about an American? Yeah. Of course it's going to have to be Republican. But you know, I think America taking our House back as Americans is is so important. Because I've seen so much of it just being, you know, between socialism and borderline communism and some of the crazy ideas that you do see up there. Excuse me, that you do see up there. That you know, I get excited. You know, on the Armed Service Committee, I serve on the Armed Service Committee. It's rare when you get a freshman on some of these committees.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Burns did a great job of kind of paving the way, helping me put that together, and of course, my Congressman Mike Rogers. So I'm in some very key positions for this district, for this area, and I enjoy it. I do enjoy it with all the mess that's going on up there. I've enjoyed it. It gets long, it gets tiring, and there's sometimes you want to throw your hands up, but you can't give up. It's just like the rest of my life, you know, the harder it gets, the deeper I dig.
Right.
So, and I'm just excited to be able to tell you about it. I think everything I've done first in my political career, I've done on your program.
Yeah.
You realize that, right?
Yeah. From when, you know, people don't realize, maybe they just moved in and started listening. You and I talked with your time as a Mobile County Commissioner.
Running for county commissioner.
Yeah, running for commission. Sure it is.
Somebody asked me this morning, where have you made your announcement? I said, I think it was on Sean's program.
Yeah.
And that dates me a little bit. It goes back about nine or 10 years.
That's right.
But and the January 6th
absolutely.
Event.
You got on the phone with me that day.
I was communicating with you. You were the one I reached out to.
Yeah, I talked to you. I mean, as it was going down, that was something.
And I don't think you realize how, and I'll stroke you a little bit here, but how important what your programs and your programming means to this community. Every day when I'm back in my district, somebody stops me and asks me a question or gives me a high five or thanks me for something I've said on one of your programs or on this station. The Bigler program.
Right.
The Bigler
Broadcasting,
Yeah, so I appreciate that. Every elected official, Republican or Democrat, should be able to say the same thing, and I'm sure they do.
Thank you.
So thank you.
That's our job. Our job is to bring your voice to folks and let them talk back with you as well. You mentioned something, Congressman, and it got me thinking about the armed services part, and I want to dig in some on NDAA. But you and Tina, y'all's son served in Afghanistan. You talked with me very openly about that when we left Afghanistan. I'll leave it at that. There's two sides of this, I think, and maybe there's more. You can tell me. You're looking at this through the investment in our military and in our area. At the same time, I've heard you talk, and your interest in VA issues. You're invested in individual veterans. Is that? I mean, this is very. You could say it's kind of very different from an individual veteran to how many, you know, frigates are we going to make?
Yeah, you know, it's easy being a congressman. You take somebody and you put them in active combat. I mean, they're really paying the price for mm-hmm. this country. And that's what makes this country what it is,
mm-hmm.
is our fighting forces. Now, we're going through some struggling times right now because we've got woke management.
Yeah.
Our fighting forces are still the same. I'll still take them. I'll take them in a heartbeat and put them anywhere in the world we need to put them. But
you got SEALs that are going to losing gig because of vaccination. I mean, let alone the honor of the Navy SEALs, but the number, let me just make it fiscal for a second. The number of taxpayer dollars that goes in training a super efficient, super warrior as a Navy SEAL, we got a lot invested in those human beings.
Yeah, and I have no idea how to figure that. I'm sure somebody's got a number on that somewhere. But with that said, I mean, we've got to, on the armed service side, you know, we got to take pride in what we've got. We've got to rebuild back. Being on the Armed Service Committee, I get a chance to do that. We started, you know, with the ALSO contract here. We built a striker up in Anniston, Gadsden area. Most people don't realize that. We've got so much in Alabama that's military related. So we've got to take care of that. And in taking care of the equipment side, we've got to take care of the people too.
The human beings,
In the NDAA, we got a pay raise. We got a 3% pay raise. And I know the 8% inflation
has eaten that up.
Yeah, it's eaten that up. But at least it's 3% less on our active duty. And you know, it's my way. I get excited when I get talking about our military. When we start talking about the VA and the VA issues, you'll see me kind of draw back a little bit because I'm really disappointed. Not so much in the people that work in the VA, but the system itself. It's just so bureaucratic. I mean, there's just so many bureaucrats. It's layers and layers of management that we just don't need. But
And I want you to come in and talk about that because I look at, you know, you have expansion of facilities here and these things, but then you have to run the facilities as well. I mean, it's great to have a new facility, but it has to be able to serve folks. And then I see that, you know, independent charity startups here are doing things to help veterans deal with issues. And they had to fight a battle to get the right to be able to help veterans that are dealing with substance abuse issues. So, I mean, there's got to be a way to streamline this. We got to care about those warriors, you know, like your son. I mean, coming back, they whether they stub a toe or they have some long-term issue, VA needs to be there for them. That's a deal we made with them.
That's right. bottom line, are we going to keep our end of the deal up? But, you know, I've watched one young man. He's come through the VA program. He was trying to get some help through the psychiatric department. He has to go to Pensacola to get on a computer to talk to a psychiatrist in Yuma, Arizona, or wherever this person's at.
We can get video from Mars, Congressman.
In your own house, I know. But this, okay, this is what I'm talking about, just the bureaucracy that's set up. So this young man has gone to this local program. He has got involved in this local program, which is zero funded by the government, and is doing great.
Great.
He's a totally different person than what I met 2 years ago. Totally different. And I can only but you've got privatized, you got a privatized system, you've got people that are volunteering, you got people that are there, they're there for a reason. And they mm-hmm. and they've been in that combat situation too.
Right.
I can't talk to those veterans.
I can't either.
And, I mean I don't.
Got a very good friend of mine that he's a veteran, talks to other veterans, but I realize that it's not my place. I back out.
I'm they're way overqualified for me to get involved mm-hmm. in that conversation. So I'm a good listener though, and I will do that. But thank you. Thank you for the systems we got, and thank you for the shout outs you always give in our veteran community.
Well, we just need to, you know, continue, and I know you do it, but continue to refine and make it better and make there not be any dead ends on this for our veterans.
Right.
On the frigate side, on the Austral, NDAA, you and I came in and you came in and we talked about it after the signing. But give me like a regular, you and I are just, what does it mean? I mean, like, how many ships, what are we talking about here?
We're looking at saving 600 plus jobs.
Okay.
We're talking about building
we're going back to steel hull, right? Away from aluminum?
These first two are aluminum.
Okay.
Now, the problem with aluminum is the Navy really doesn't know what to do with them. They don't understand them. They're fast. They're quick. They spin. They're like jet skis. They can do crazy stuff. The Navy just doesn't understand it. On top of that, the original ships that were drawn up in design, the Navy made so many changes. I mean, they load it with so much weapons and toys and whatever.
It slowed it down, didn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't slow it down, but it changes the balance. It changes everything about the ship because this ship can book.
Right.
And somewhere like the Suez Canal and where we need quick response, it is just fantastic. And that's what it was designed for. It was designed to take Marines and run them up in shallow water and drop
They're still going to keep the ones, even when they make this, are they still going to keep the aluminum hulls or are they mothballing? Is the Navy still going to use those going forward?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, to what degree, we don't know. But right now, we're just trying to help AUSL and Armed Service Committee through Bradley Burns.
Mm-hmm.
This actually started with Bradley. They got the money allotted so we could get them switched over to a steel hull. We don't need to lose any shipbuilders.
Period. Is the steel hull going to be look like the current LCS, but steel hull, or will it be a different kind of ship?
Don't know.
Okay.
I've not seen any drawings on that. Now, the first two they're going to build are actually ocean-going tugs.
Okay.
Which, you know, we see a lot of those around here, especially when you get down Ballabatry.
Sure.
But they're going to be big tugs, big ocean-going tugs. And those will be the first two steels.
All right. Do this as we head into the news break. Come back. More of our conversation with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. You said running for re-election, so therefore you're campaigning?
May the 24th. I'd appreciate your vote. Appreciate your support.
You're going to have places people can come out and visit with you between now and then?
Yes, sir. We'll have all that set up. We've got our website set up. Any volunteers that want to get on early, we'd appreciate as early as possible. Or just register your email address at jerrycarl.com, and we'll make sure you're in the loop
as far as
information, getting things out.
Good stuff. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. We'll get your text as well at 343-0106. And as the congressman mentioned, the FM Talk 106.5 app. See, I knew we'd achieve something with this app when we have a congressional endorsement. So check it out. Go to Google Play if you're an Android user. Yep, you're showing me right there. You go to Google Play if you're an Android user or the App Store if you're an iPhone user and just search for FMTALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. Why? Because it's the web. That's how they do it. So it's just FMTALK 1065. You'll see our logo. That's our app. It's free. It's waiting for you. It's a digital multi-tool. It's like a Leatherman online. Check it out right now. Download it, and then we'll talk about it when we get back from the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:23, FM Talk 106.5. Continue our conversation with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. Re-election is announced, and You're running.
We're running, and we'll. I appreciate everyone's support. May the 24th will be obviously the date that we're shooting for now, and then of course that'll. Should we make it through that, which I hope we do, we'll move right into the general, which is November the.
Yeah, I think it's like the 4th of
January. First Tuesday in November.
That's right. It's always first Tuesday. Now, you had told me 2 years ago you were bullish on the Republicans taking the House. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I kind of drugged my feet. And I said, okay, let's see. Now, of course, at this point, I'm probably as bullish as you are by what's going on. I don't know how they – I think all they can do is lose more. Democrats can just seem to be losing more influence in the House in the upcoming midterms.
Yeah, with the announcement today from Bobby, what's his last name?
Bobby Rush.
Bobby Rush.
Yeah, Bobby Rush is the only person
which I found interesting. He's the only person to ever beat Obama in an election. And he beat Obama by 30 points.
Yeah,
he just beat the snot out of him.
Right.
So for a man like that, and Bobby Rush is reading that article, he is well respected in the Democrat Party, but that's just a sign that the Democrats are afraid of what's in the horizon. They know what's coming in November. They don't want to serve as a minority because mm-hmm. it is no fun. I'll tell you that.
Right. First-hand account. Yeah.
So that makes number, I think, 27 that's announced their retirement. So that's 27 seats. And people got to keep in mind, the next 4 weeks you'll see more. Even Nancy Pelosi, we anticipate she's not going to run again.
But okay, so Bobby Rush or Nancy Pelosi, though, both coming from a place that even if they don't run, I got to figure a Democrat's going to, you know, we're not going to have a Republican juggernaut there in Nancy's home district in San Francisco.
Yeah, but the Democrat Party doesn't have to spend much money to get Nancy Pelosi elected.
Right.
Got to think about that.
Okay.
So if they've got to run someone in her place, they have to spend money. And there's only so much money you can get.
Okay.
So for them to have to spend money there, they may not spend money against, say, a Republican candidate that's on in a purple district.
Mm-hmm.
So we may theoretically lose her seat where she's at, we can actually save a seat somewhere else. So it's a chess game in what that's going on right now. But they've got to file in the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks, depending on what state it is, to file to run in this next election. So you'll see a lot of these announcements coming up.
All right. And I want to talk about this when we have more time at length, because when Republicans, I agree now, when Republicans take the majority in the midterm, what are y'all going to do with it? I know we don't have to, you know what I'm saying? But instead of just, okay, it's a reaction to the overstepping of the bounds by President Biden, what are y'all going to do on the other side to not just say, we're not them, what are you going to do positive?
I'll give you 30,000 view.
Okay.
First, we're going to put a little common sense back into what's going on in Washington. Take the metal detectors out. We're going to open the people's house and let the people come in and enjoy their house, because it's still a lockdown situation. We don't gripe. We don't complain about it. It's just one of those things we've had to learn to live with. We got to close the border. We've got to push. And if we can take the House and the Senate, I think we can work a deal with the president and finish that border wall.
You can work a deal with President Biden to get the border wall finished.
No, I said that's what we're hoping to
Okay.
do. And you know, and I'd rather kill him with kindness than mm-hmm. I had fight him. So the Democrats are aware of what that's costing them. They are aware of a lot of the Democrats are getting very restless on that border issue, and they should be. They should be. So, you know, we've got to stop that. And then our military itself. I mean, we've got to increase the funding. We've got to replace $80 billion worth that we left on the ground in Afghanistan, as an example. But, you know, we've got to – that is our number one goal as protection, as federal government, as protection, not all this other stuff. And that comes secondary. You know, there's some
things – But you have to give that – it seems like watching y'all, and we just have about a minute and a half left, you have to give that up to get the – to get that increased funding there, you're going to have to give into the Democrats on something else.
Well, let's look at the zombie stuff, and that's what they refer to it as. It's all the holes that they put money in all year long. Every budget puts money in, and there's dead. They've been
programs
gone since the 50s and 60s. They're programs that will never be used again. Well, let's close them. Let's honestly sit down and review the books. Let's look and see what we can close.
Is that y'all will be doing that when you take control of the House?
These are some of the things that we're already beginning to work on. I've got a bill. We're not calling it the zombie bill, but I've got a bill that we're going to actually introduce, and that's what it's going to target. It's going to target those programs. If they're inactive, let's close them. Let's cut the funding off. Okay. How much money are we talking about? I have no idea, but it's going to be a bunch.
Yeah, you know, not trying to tell y'all what to do up there, but if y'all will put that out in a form that people can consume, we can look at these bills and see when they started. I mean, these departments and funding, when they started and what they're doing or not doing, that would be, people could scroll through and look.
Great
that would
idea.
Be.
I get my best ideas from talking to people.
Well,
that's how important it is just to be in the district and talk to people.
I think for us back home here and all over the country to be able to look through individual and read it ourselves and say, look at this, what they're doing, and you could get some consensus there.
Yep.
Okay,
good.
And then next time, I want to talk about underwater forest situation too.
Get Happy New Year's.
You're right. Happy New Year to you as well. Running for re-election. It's Congressman
Carl for Congress.
And the rest of the show is going to be talking about people who aren't running again. It's coming up. John Sharp joins me next. We'll discuss the announcement today for Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Ridge, ending her term in 23 and not running again.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. I'm just, can we get that put together like in a promo or something that AL1 Congressman Jerry Curl has downloaded the app? So you should do the same, the FM Talk 106.5 app, waiting for you over at the Google Play Store. If you're Android users, go to Google Play. It's right there on your phone. And just search for FM TALK 1065. Same thing for iPhone users at the App Store, just FM TALK 1065. Not only do you get the streaming of the station, you get the first crack at all the 55 hours a week of live local programming we put up as podcasts. That's the first place it posts. Our great social media feeds with Leanna doing fantastic work. Those updates there, plus the latest traffic maps, weather from wherever you are, pops up on your phone. You can use the talkback feature to leave us a message to play back on there. There's just tons of stuff on there, so I want you to check it out. All right. I would play this clip here because we mentioned at the beginning of the show this happened a little earlier this morning. Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Ridge announcing her retirement.
Today, I'm going to smile. I'm announcing my retirement as the District Attorney of Mobile County at the end of this term. I will not seek re-election this year. In October, a new law became effective that will allow me to retire that was not in effect in July when I announced my re-election campaign. I will serve the remainder of this term, and my last day in office will be in January of 2023. My parents are 87 years old, and I want to spend more time with them, as time with them at this age is precious. My daughter will be attending Auburn University in the fall, and I want to be the best Auburn mom ever. And as you, most of you know, my son is serving our country in the United States Air Force overseas, and I want to be able to travel and see him more often. But more importantly, my husband here, Richie, we'll finally have a wife who doesn't have to carry home with her all of the emotions and responsibilities of being the top prosecutor in Mobile County. During the last 26 years, I've constantly reminded myself of the saying, you are only as good as the people you surround yourself with. I am who I am because of all of the people that I have worked with over the past 26 years, and I'm grateful for their insight, skills, and commitment to victims of crime.
All right, to discuss more on that with us from AL.com, you can check out his story about that and a whole lot more over at AL.com. My buddy, John Sharp. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. This one caught me by surprise. I'm not going to like pretend and sandbag here. I didn't know this, but it could have pushed me over with a feather.
Right. Caught us all by surprise, all of us in the media. We didn't know. We were discussing this before the press conference. Well, what do you think this is about? I thought it might be about, you know, I'll be honest with you, I thought it was going to be a discussion about concealed carry legislation that Sheriff Cochran had been opposing and been vocal about in the last month or so. But that wasn't the case. It was a surprise. Ashley Rich was with her husband, and it was an emotional news conference. But she decided the timing was right. There had been some changes, she said, in state law that allows her to retire with full benefits, combining her experience or her tenure as assistant district attorney leading up to her 12 years as an elected district attorney that allows her to do this retirement at this point in time. She's still young, I would say. Obviously there's other things that she would like to try and continue to do. She's working in the district attorney's office, but there's some have to be cleared up within this new the framework of this new law. And she's checking in with the attorney general's office before she can make a decision on her future. So those things that she discussed during this news conference, and again, it was emotional at times. The questions were asked. You've been campaigning. I mean, there's been some campaigning.
Yeah, there's signs. Well. There's signs out there.
So that's why, it was a curveball. But this is the month to be prepared for that. This is qualifying period that we're in right now. Some of these politicians are looking at possible replacements for their office and deciding whether or not they should retire at this point in time. Sheriff Sam Cochran being one of them as well. Made it official today, announcing that he is not going to be seeking a re-election either. That one might not be as big of a surprise. I mean, he's been in law enforcement for 46, 47, 48 years. And I was at Mobile County DOP fund with Paul Birch, who's handing out business cards, basically saying, I'm running for sheriff. So, that poses the question. But Sheriff Cochran made the announcement that, indeed, he's not seeking re-election. And Ashley Rich today, and she also has someone that she's supporting, Keith Blackwood, works within her office as well. So they both have supporter, replacements that they'd like to see win out in May. The primary's on May, I believe, May 24th.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was discussed briefly as well during Ashley Rich's news conference. Apparently, Mr. Blackwood will be making an official announcement for his candidacy next week.
You and I have been talking, from the summer on through, new faces for the Mobile City Council, something you and I talk about a bunch, and the new people there and kind of the changing of times. And now, really, this is two of them, big ones, when it comes to law enforcement and the judicial system and prosecution. I mean, you can't go back and tell, a law enforcement story that doesn't involve at least the name Ashley Rich or Sam Cochran for a few decades in our city. And then we think about the changes also at MPD.
Yeah, you're correct. There's been a lot of changes. But Ashley Rich kind of summed it up. I asked her about this to weigh in on it. She said, I have two sayings that I tell constantly to the people that I work with. One is don't give in to the fear of change, and the other is the only thing constant is change. So, there it is. That was her quote. And, a lot of changes, especially when you talk about the sheriff and the district attorney. But both of them have, folks that they would like to see succeed them and are going to be, in a nutshell, like, hate to use the word endorse, but I think they're going to be campaigning for him. So the word endorsement would apply.
That's
kind of, they feel that they got replacements lined up, ready to go, but these are both going to be open seats. I would be extremely surprised if, Paul Birch will be the only one running for sheriff or Keith Blackwood the only one running for district attorney. I think we'll have hopefully multiple candidates running. Makes things more interesting, but we'll see. Time will tell.
They would have to file by when on that?
I believe January 28th is the deadline, so we have several weeks to go. We could see some more surprises, not only mm-hmm. here locally but statewide. It's a month before the filing deadline.
So, I agree with you. I think I don't know the tip of the iceberg, but we hadn't seen the whole thing yet. I think there'll be more discussed. Plus, at a state level, Jessica Taylor today stepping out of the Senate race and endorsing Durant. So, there's more of that to come this year. All right, I got to talk to you, John, about the story. I opened up my show with it. I know you're not surprised. Opened up my show with this yesterday, an in-depth discussion of the squirrels of Bienville Square. Now, that is not new to this show. You and I have talked about it. My buddy Bill Finch has been on with, he's quoted in stories. He's been talking about it with me. But now it's getting down to, Squirrelmageddon. We're trapping squirrels, right? The squirrels, it's not the human beings. The squirrels are the reason for the damage to the live oaks in Bienville Square.
Well, there was according to the city, and this was a news release sent out yesterday, that there was an analysis done on the squirrels and of the trees, and they came back. But the city hired a company called Wildlife Solutions. Mm-hmm. They're out of Fairhope. They came in and recommended squirrel relocation.
They said the SPA was too high. The squirrels per acre, or as I've dubbed it, SPA. You can use that from now on. The SPA was too high.
Well, this is all in the aftermath of Hurricane Sally, all the damage that was done at Bienville Square, and kind of the picking up the pieces and moving on from that. And there's a project underway in several phases. I believe the first phase will be bidded out possibly later on this month, and that'll be on kind of revitalizing the area around the fountain, which the fountain is not there right now. It's currently being restored as well. So there's a lot going on at Bienville Square. This is all kind of part of that to reassess, you know, what the situation is with wildlife, I suppose. And so they're going to, you know, humanely trap approximately 25 squirrels and relocate them to a rural habitat in Mobile County in hopes of that reducing the amount of damage that perhaps they cause at Bienville Square. And if there's going to be new trees or flowers or whatever you want to, you know, whatever is being planned for Bienville Square planted, I suspect that might have play a role into it as well. So there's, you know, there's a project going on there right now.
Well, look for what I suggested yesterday. There would have to be some sort of spay and neuter program for the squirrels that are left, because I don't want to teach a biology lesson to the city of Mobile, but they'll make more. You know,
they didn't dive into that in the news release. So I can't.
Well, they should have. Right, but they should have. Question here on this kind of going forward. Is this, and somebody asked yesterday about the money. This is not, I mean, this wasn't a city council. This can come from the executive branch, right? Branch being the key term.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, this is not a Mobile City Council decision necessarily. It is a city administration decision. And there's questions of whether or not how much role the council will play in the future decisions on contracting out for the work that's being done at Bienville Square. I think we need to. There's going to be from my understanding, from the Downtown Mobile Alliance perspective, is that there's kind of this analysis going on how much the construction will be out there and whether or not that'll fall under bidding parameters that have to go back to the council. So I think there's a little bit more information that needs to come out on you know, the timing and also the price of what we're looking at for the revitalization of that square.
I mean,
I think a lot of people want to see it. I mean, you know,
but what are they talking about building? I mean, you know, we've got the whatever you call it, the gazebo, rotunda, whatever that thing is. I don't know the right term for it, but are we going to build more things out there?
No, I think they're going to restore the, the big thing is restoring the big cast iron fountain.
Right.
That was removed. That's being worked on. That's a popular place for people to come and just take pictures, or a gathering spot at Mardi Gras, you name it. I mean, that's a kind of an iconic thing in downtown Mobile. So that's the big thing that's going to be in phase one. But, you know, also I think they're going to expand the area around it, include more pavers that, you know, perhaps there'll be more outdoor dining possibilities there during lunchtime. That's a popular the luncheon activity that they do during the spring months is popular down there. So, you know, that's one thing they want to do. There's also been the proposal for more planting of flowers around the square. So, you know, those are some of the proposals right now. But you know, as far as the details, I don't think that'll be known exactly until we know what the final contract is and where we go with phase one. I think there were some discussions, again, of having that bid it out, or at least bids firmed up by the end of this month, which, you know, we'll wait and see.
I'll call that phase two. John, I consider removal of the squirrels phase one.
Yeah, that could be correct. Phase one is the removal of the squirrels, and the final phase will be removal of the future squirrels.
That's right. See, I'm on to something. I'm going to go challenge the administration on that. As always, I appreciate your updates. People want to follow you online, like where they can get breaking news, like when the district attorney retires or says that they're going to not run for reelection. Where do they go?
Yeah, at John Sharp 99, and you know, away we go, New Year's. I mean, this is an election year, and it's going to be a wild one, starting here in January and going all the way through November.
All right. By the way, I know this is what we should do on the phone, not on the air, but are you going to Montgomery? You going to go up?
for
session.
Yeah, you I'll be up there, I suppose, at some point. I just don't know exactly when, but okay. It's early. It starts up January.
Yeah, 7 days
11th.
Left. Yeah, week from today.
A week from now.
Yeah, so we got to plan, like, if we're going to go out to eat or something like that, but I'll call you on that, okay?
All righty. Sounds good.
There he is, y'all. John Sharp, AL.com. Coming right back. Grab some text and calls here at 343-0106 or 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You just heard Devin's update there about the lottery in Florida. Talked about this over the years. Have not heard it here. My people here haven't done it, but people I've worked with and jobs over my life will give you that when they're like, whenever like a headline comes out. But lotto's up to $500 million. I've always worked with people who said, I guess I'm going to go over there and get a lottery ticket now that it's up to that. Like what? Like the $2 billion wasn't enough. Like it's not enough. That's just a waste of my time. It's got to be $500 million before. Okay, shut up. I worked with two people. One, especially, I remember, would always do that. Like, well, lotto's up to $500 million. I guess I'm going to go get a ticket. Yeah, because $30 million would just be a waste of your time. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. And George in Mobile is first up. Hey, George.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm all right, man. How about you?
I'm fine. I'm just going to say, this is when you really know that you don't have a Fred Richardson on the council anymore, because he'd have made sure that every district got three or four squirrels.
What would we call it? Instead of CIP, SIP.
I just feel bad for the districts that are going to miss out.
It is going to be bad, and they're moving. It says to Mobile County, so to me, it sounds like they're not even staying in the city with the removal. They're going out into the county. So I'll have the sheriff on.
They don't want them to be able to vote.
That's right.
Send them out, make sure they're not annexed.
Thank you for the call, George. Appreciate it. The squirrels per district. Yeah, that's Dave is in Loxley. Yeah, Dave.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, man.
Let's take movie series like Jaws and rename all of the series to reflect the squirrel movement. So we start with Squirrels, Revenge of the Squirrels, and so forth.
What other, if you had to, so you're saying take a movie title and remove one word and replace it with squirrels?
Sure.
Okay.
And use a series of movies that are similar.
Squirrels Strike Back?
Right.
Yeah. You've now with that you'll have melted down my text line for the rest of the afternoon. But I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, people are suggesting them already. Somebody said squirrel density. No, SPA. If y'all listened to the beginning of the show yesterday, they were talking about squirrels per acre or something like that. So my new term is SPA. You know, you're like those squirrels too. The volume, like you could have if you went to a regular forest. Okay, and you had an SPA, let's call it an SPA of 20, all right? So it's an acre out there's got 20 squirrels on it. They might have a combined weight of about 20 pounds, maybe a little more if the acorn crop has been good like it was this year. So in Bienville Square, if you do that computation, squirrels per acre comes out with a total volume of about 316 pounds. They're really big squirrels out there. Am I making a little bit light of it? Well, sure. But if they don't go, we remove the squirrels. And I know we went through this yesterday about what a couple kids with Crossman 760s could do. But if you take out 25 squirrels, which some folks are contracting with, I know these guys are real awesome at what they do, Wildlife Solutions. But if you take those out, and I bet you if the guys are listening for Wildlife Solutions or following me, you take those 25 out or whatever, you reduce it. Squirrels be squirreling, man, and there'll be new baby squirrels, and there'll be, okay. I'm just saying if maybe you need to have a project here where the remaining ones you spay and neuter. You spay and neuter the squirrels and then put them back in place. Yes, people, let's see, Mr. Valentine, traumatic for squirrel families separated. Where will they find a peanut-rich environment like they're used to? They're not. They're not. It's going to be tough. I knew this would melt this down. The Silence of the Squirrels. There you go, Dave, for a movie title. Unnamed texter, hey, Sean, wouldn't a squirrel cook-off event be a good complement to the chili cook-off at the same time with the population control? I mean, you catch the dang things with a dip net. Now we're talking a good fatty squirrels there that would be. Remember when I used to compete in the chili cook-off and I always do the, I know, typecast, always do the wild game category. But I didn't, I was bringing in ball game there. It would have been a lot more exciting if I would have been in Bienville Square catching the squirrels and then cooking them in the chili right there. Geronimo says Squirrel-nado. I think that's, yeah, I think that may be a winner there. Although silence squirrels in the city. Supermom says, do you think these squirrels have love interest? Do they partner up? Well, for minutes at a time. Well, seconds at a time they do. I don't think they have, they're not geese, right? They're opportunist, we'll put it that way. So Squirrel Dad, I know there are a lot of cartoons where Squirrel Dad checks in and the squirrel families do all that, but it's, no. Not spaying and neutering is paycheck protection for wildlife management company. Yeah, I would agree. I would say if you're going to leave some there, then you need to spay and neuter the remaining squirrels because there'll be more. Good question here. Will the squirrels be tested for Omicron variant before they're relocated? Could be taking a disease to a new squirrel community. Great point. Great. I will say this, side note, and it's something we talked about on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. It's a show Mike Ward and I do on Saturday mornings at 7. They did a bunch of testing of deer out there, and deer have COVID. Another suggestion, dude, where's my squirrel? Yeah, see, I knew, Dave, thank you, but not thank you for starting that up. All right. A question from earlier about the bridge funding. So when the congressman was on, we've talked about that before. The federal funding thing, we'll revisit it, but this idea that there's all this federal money for the bridge, it's just, I mean, we've got the infra-grant money that's going to run out. And other than that, this idea that the feds are going to come in and fix all that, it's going to have to come through the state. It's going to have to come through LDOT. But we're not going to do that. We're going to do another show down the road on that, like we've done, I don't know, a couple hundred hours on that over the years. But we will revisit that. All right, coming back next hour, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, another person in the list. I talked about the list of people that are not running for office again, right? So, I mean, I think the only one out of our list today was Congressman Carl, who is. Of course, we had audio earlier in the hour from Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich, who is not. There's some in Baldwin County that are not running again. We talked about some of the statewide deals. But we'll talk to the sheriff maybe a little bit about that. And also, the subject that has dominated so much of the discussion here on the station and around the state as well, this push in session this year, which starts a week from today for whatever you want to call it. Somebody corrects me every time. Constitutional carry, permitless carry, name it what you want. We'll talk about it when we come back with the sheriff of Mobile County, Sam Cochran. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Y'all are very, very talented. The Big Squirrel Bowski may be one of my favorites that just came through. Thank you, Dan. We'll be back.